RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia and U.S. cooperating to maintain peace and stability in South China Sea. Indonesia and Australia agree to develop fintech. Minister Susi warns gender is no longer a problem. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir said during a press briefing on Friday that the Governor of Indonesia and the United States agreed to cooperate to maintain peace and stability in the region relative to South China Sea, as he asked. The agreement was signed during the state visit of U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, who held talks with President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala on Thursday. Vice President Mike Pence underlined the importance of using peaceful diplomacy in dealing with all issues related to South China Sea disputes. Armanata also remarked that the Indonesian government will continue to actively encourage negotiations and agreement involved the completion of code of conduct to resolve territorial dispute around South China Sea. Indonesian Financial Service Authority, OJK, and Australian Security and Investment Commission, ASIC, have agreed to cooperate in the exchange of information in the areas of innovation in the financial service sector, including the development of technology-based financial services, fintech. In a press statement on Friday, the agreement on the cooperation was signed by OJK Board of Commissioner Chairman Mulyaman Haddad and ASIC Commissioner John Price at the ASIC office in Melbourne, Australia, recently. Mulyaman hopes that the OJK-ASIC cooperation could improve innovation in the financial service industry in Indonesia and strengthen the relation in financial service sector of both countries. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti expects that all parties, especially women, no longer question gender, so they can create the best amidst the community. In her statement, she affirmed on Kartini Day, which falls Friday, that one of women who has inspired her so far is Raden Ajeng Kartini, who has also inspired many Indonesian women. Through her thoughts, as outlined in her writing, Raden Ajeng Kartini has opened up a new perspective that women also have equal opportunities in achieving education, career, and in reaching higher goals. She views that the role of inspiring women today is needed in various fields. She also advised the entire community, especially Indonesian women, not to question gender and have to be highly creative. Minister Susi added that she never differentiates herself from men. By feeling equal, she is confident that she can also do what men do. Indonesian Tourism Minister has acknowledged that the fabulous beauty of the underwater life of Sabah region in the western tip of Indonesia is well known as a worldwide marine tourism destination. Sabah is known for its underwater world and an ideal place for diving and snorkeling activities. This was stated by Deputy Chairman of the Minister of Maritime Tourism Development Acceleration Team, Asyad Muhammad, at the Sabah Fair Arena on Friday. He acknowledged that domestic and international tourists are amazed when watching a giant aquarium in Sabah, Aceh province, where millions of marine lives are inhabited. Asyad views that basically marine-based nature tourism is increasingly preserved in the world. Thus, tourists visit will increase and lead to prosperity of the tourism industry, business people, and the public in general. Head of Culture and Tourism Office of Aceh, Reza Falepi, appreciated the activity of Saban Marine Festival SMF3 from 1925 April 2017 and promoted the tourism industry of Saban to the world yachter community. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of the Animal Husbandry Office of West Papua, Hendrikus Fatem, said on Friday that West Papua has beef surplus that is ready to be supplied to any other region across Indonesia. He stated that cow farming is one of major income earners in West Papua. Cow farms are found in various areas in the province. He explained that cow farming centers in West Papua include the regions of Pakfak, Soron, and Tambrau. West Papua will have a share of 11,000 breeder cows required to be made pregnant with artificial insemination and to deliver baby cows this year. Inventory of the cows is still underway. In the three district area, there are thousands of hectares of cow grazing fields. Three district areas in West Papua where the program to be launched include Soron, Manokwari, and Fakfak. Under the program, the regional government will import frozen cement. Breeding cows of farmers will be injected with the frozen cement. The government has launched the program hoping to significantly reduce dependence on import for beef or live beef cows. Indonesia will participate in the Universal Periodic Review of United Nations in Geneva, Swiss on May 3rd until 5th, 2017. Director for Human Rights of Directorate General of Multilateral at Foreign Affairs Ministry, Diki Komar, said that at the Universal Periodic Review, Indonesia will submit its human rights progress and challenge. At the press briefing that took place on Friday, he affirmed that the Indonesian delegation will be led by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lawli. I defend all 198 United Nations country members will voluntarily review human rights issues at their each own country periodically. There are some themes that will be reported by Indonesia, such as International Human Rights Conference ratification. There are some themes that will be compared, such as International Human Rights Conference ratification. Then there is cooperation between Indonesia and international human rights mechanism. Next, there are international normative structure of human rights and cooperation with civil community. Last but not least, there is improvement of women's rights and other front communities. Diki Komar further stated that Indonesian report will include low team or regional discriminatory rules, violence towards women and daughter, mother and children health, children with low problem, disability community, migrant workers, freedom of expression and religion, freedom to form union and poverty eradication and economic and social culture rights. Besides, on May 5th, the report to be completed by Universal Periodic Review will be adopted to ratify several recommendations that had been conveyed by the countries at the Assembly on May 3rd. The last item, the spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Arman Atanasir, condemned the shooting attack in Paris, France on Thursday night, April 20, 2017. The attack killed one police officer and wounded two others. He explained that his ministry has confirmed no Indonesian casualty. Absolutely, Indonesian government condemns the attack in Paris. Until now, there is no Indonesian casualty. Armanata further said that Indonesian embassy in Paris has coordinated with several communities and authorities. The embassy has released an appeal to avoid Champs Elysees district. It also asks Indonesian national in Paris to follow local authorities' directions and remain vigilant. The embassy opens hotline for Indonesian national who need assistance towards the attack. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island,
reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Various important events occurring this week were featured in editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review of Voice of Indonesia. Let's begin with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in editorial on Thursday, April the 20th, writes Unite in Diversity. The most important stage in the long process of the 2017 regional head election in Jakarta ended marked by the second round of voting on Wednesday, April the 19th. Although not yet official, the winner of the contestation is already known through quick count method. However, most importantly, it is time for the people of Jakarta to reunite. It is impossible to deny that the election of Jakarta is the most exhausting one, not only from the duration that reached 7 months since the registration period of candidates for governor and vice governor. This year's election of Jakarta has also been very emotional draining. The difference in views was so sharp. Contestation also took place in a high tension. Rivalry seemed to be without limit to the extent that the people were split by excessive fanatism of each candidate. In fact, the energy of the nation has been drained due to the election of Jakarta, which should be a local-level democracy thick with national flavor. Therefore, all parties should be happy that the election of Jakarta eventually ended. All the worries that there would be some chaos at the top of the event did not come true. All parties should appreciate the tireless apparatus who ensured smoothness and safety of the election. If there is no dispute, the winner will officially be announced by KPU DKI Jakarta on May the 6th after a vote recapitulation from April the 20th until May the 1st, 2017. However, looking at the quick count results, the contestation of Jakarta election this time has been won by Anies Rashid Baswedan and Sandiaga Uno. All the survey institutions that held a quick count placed the pair number 3 above the incumbent Basuki Cahayapurnama Jarod Saiful Hidayat. Jakarta residents should reunite after the split. Polemics and conflicts, feuds and disputes are in the past. Conversely, togetherness in diversity is the future. Jakarta soon has a new leader. On the shoulders of Anies Sandi, the fate of the capital for the next 5 years is propped up. They should be able to bring Jakarta better than the already excellent Basuki Jarot. Turning now to the Republika newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday, April the 21st, writes to meet the sense of justice. After the trial was postponed on Tuesday, April the 11th, the prosecutor charges to the defendant in the alleged blasphemy case of Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahaya Purnama alias Ahok was finally read out on Thursday, April the 20th. The prosecutor charged with 1 year prison sentence with a 2 year probation to Ahok has sparked a strong reaction from various circles. The prosecution against Ahok in the case of alleged defamation is considered by some circles too light and does not meet the sense of justice. The same disappointment was conveyed by members of Commission 3 of the House of Representatives, Nasir Jamil and Muhammad Syafi'i. The case of Ahok alleged blasphemy has caused a great reaction in society. Millions of people took the streets in some peaceful rallies. They demanded that Ahok, as defendant of this religious defamation case, get the verdict as he deserved. Many Muslims in this country would expect law to be enforced. It is only natural that the various elements of society are upset by the mild demands read by the mild charge read out by the prosecutors in the hearing last Thursday. In fact, on the indictment at the first trial in December 2016, the prosecutor charged Ahok with an alternative article, namely with the threat of 4 years in prison. However, the prosecutor only demanded 1 year imprisonment with a 2 year probation period. That means the judge can decide that Ahok does not have to serve a prison sentence as long as he does not repeat the mistake during the trial period or violates the term of other conditions that the judge will decide later. According to Republika Daily, disappointment with prosecutors who demanded lightly the defendant of alleged defamation of religious case is natural. However, the public must remain respectful of the proceedings. The public must let the judges to decide the case. There mustn't be any pressure from any side against the judge. Let the judge with the authority to decide the case. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin an event which occurred on April 22nd, is about Earth Day. Earth Day is an annual event celebrated on April 22nd worldwide. Various events are held to demonstrate support for environmental protection. First celebrated in 1970, Earth Day event in more than 193 countries are now coordinated globally by the Earth Day Network. On Earth Day 2016, the landmark Paris Agreement was signed by United States, China and some 120 other countries. The signing satisfied a key requirement for the entry into force of the historic Draft Climate Protection Treaty adopted by consensus of the 195 nations present at the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Paris, France. In 1969, at UNESCO Conference in San Francisco, a peace activist John McConnell proposed a day to honor the Earth and the concept of peace, to be first celebrated on March 21st, 1970. The first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, the Day of Nature's Equivoce, was later sanctioned in the proclamation written by McConnell and signed by then Secretary General U Thant at the United Nations. A month later, a separate Earth Day was founded by United States Senator Gaylord Nelson as an environmental tag in first held on April 22, 1970. Nelson was later awarded the Presidential Medal for Freedom Award in recognition of his work. while this April 22nd each day was focused on the United States, an organization launched by Dennis Hayes, who was the original national coordinator in 1970, took it international in 1990 and organized events in 141 nations. The next event was in 1994 when Richard Milhouse Nixon died. Richard Milhouse Nixon, who was born January 9, 1913 and died April 22, 1994, was an American politician who served as the 37th President of the United States from 1969 until 1974, when he became the only U.S. President to resign from office. He had previously served as the 36th Vice President of the United States from 1953 to 1961 under the presidency of Dwight Eisenhower, and prior to that as a U.S. Representative and also Senator from California. The year 1973 saw an Arab oil embargo, gasoline rationing, and continued series of revelations about the Watergate scandal. The scandal escalated, costing Nixon much of his political support, and on August 9, 1974, he resigned in the face of almost certain impeachment and removal from office. After his resignation, he was issued a pardon by his successor, Gerald Ford. In retirement, Nixon wrote writing several books and undertaking of many foreign trips helped to rehabilitate his image. He suffered a debilitating stroke on April 18, 1994 and died 4 days later at the age of 81. And the last event was in 1997 when hostage for 126 days, the remaining dignitaries in Peru were freed. The Japanese embassy hostage crisis began on 17 December 1996 in Lima, Peru, when 14 members of the Tupac Amaru Revolutionary Movement, MRTA, took hostage hundreds of high-level diplomats, government and military officers, and business executives who were attending a party at the official residence of the Japanese ambassador to Peru, Morihisa Aoki, in a celebration of Emperor Heiko's 63rd birthday. Although strictly speaking, the crisis took place at the ambassadorial residence in the upscale district of San Isidro rather than at the embassy proper. The media and others referred to it as a Japanese embassy hostage crisis, and that is how it is conventionally known. Most of the hostages were soon released after being held hostage for 126 days. The remaining dignitaries were freed on 22 April 1997 in a raid by Peruvian Armed Forces commandos, during which one hostage, two commandos, and all the MRTA militants were killed. The operation was perceived by most Peruvians to be a great success, and it gained worldwide media attention. President Alberto Fujimori initially received much credit for saving the lives of the hostages. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on 5 efforts to accelerate geothermal development. Stay tuned.
Focus, daily news and events.
The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources set 5 breakthrough efforts to accelerate geothermal development in Indonesia, which are different from the policy in previous years. Director of Geothermal, Director General of New Renewable Energy Conservation, Yunus Saiful Haq, on the official website of the Ministry on Wednesday, April the 19th, mentions 5 breakthroughs as an effort to accelerate geothermal development. First is the auction of 5 geothermal working areas in 2017 for Eastern Indonesian region with consideration of economic prices that are still in and attractive to investors. They are Mount Hamiding, Simbolon Samosir, Oka Ile Ange, Bora Pulu, and Mount Sirung. These 5 areas are expected to operate in 2024 and 2025. Second, the assignment to the Public Service Agency and state-owned enterprises to conduct geothermal exploration and production activities in areas where the economic price has not yet entered. Currently, the government has assigned PTPL and Persero to conduct geothermal development activities at Atadel, East Nusa Tenggara, Songawayua, North Maluku, Ciater, and Tangkuban Perahu, West Java Province. The third is shorten the permit for East geothermal investment. Currently, one-stop service for investment in investment coordinating agency is being implemented by the government and is continuously working to improve the excellent service that facilitates investors. Fourth, giving introduction and exploration survey assignment to business entities that have potential or interest in developing geothermal energy in eastern Indonesia. And fifth is this implementation of geothermal funding program to attract investors in developing geothermal for geothermal working area in eastern Indonesian region. According to Yunus, the program aims to reduce the risk of geothermal exploitation and is expected to encourage geothermal development by private developers and small and medium enterprises. Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources and Ministry of Finance as the steering agency provide budget of 3 trillion rupiahs, and there is also fund from World Bank in grant worth 52.25 million US dollars. The funding for this program is a conditional grant, with the auction winner from the location will replace the exploration fund and premium risk. The cost reimbursement is intended to allow exploration drilling funds to be used in other area or revolving funds. Well, that was focused today on 5 efforts to accelerate geothermal development. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanda Tanasir said during a press briefing on Friday that the government of Indonesia and the United States agreed to cooperate to maintain peace and stability in the region related to the South China Sea CSCs. Indonesian Financial Services Authority OJK and Australian Security and Investment Commission ASIT have agreed to cooperate in the exchange of information in the areas of innovation in the financial service sector, including the development of technology-based financial services, FinTech. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti expects that all parties, especially women, no longer question gender, so they can create the best amidst the community. In her statement, she affirmed on the Kartini Day, which falls Friday, that one of women who has inspired so far is Raden Ajeng Kartini, who has also inspired many Indonesian women. Indonesian Tourism Ministry has acknowledged that the fabulous beauty of the underwater life of Sabah region in the western tip of Indonesia is well known as a worldwide marine tourism destination. Sabah is known for its underwater world and an ideal place for diving and snorkeling activities. Head of the Animal Husbandry Office of West Papua, Hendrikus Patem, said on Friday that West Papua has beef surplus that is ready to be supplied to any other regions across Indonesia. Indonesia will participate in the Universal Periodic Review of United Nations in Geneva, Swiss on May 3rd until 5th, 2015. The spokesman of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanda Tanasir, condemns the shooting attack in Paris, France on Thursday night, April 20, 2017. The attack killed one police officer and wounded 2 others. He explained that his ministry has confirmed no Indonesian casualty. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Pangaha Saroja, a souvenir from Bima, West Nusa Tenggara province. Stay tuned! Listener, Pangaha Saroja or Saroja cookies is well known as one of typical food of Rasabo village, Bolo sub district, Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara province. Pangaha Saroja is dried cookies which looks easy in making it. However, if the cookies is not made by a person who does not have skill, so result of the cookies will be not perfect and the flavor not quite right. Listeners, Saroja cookies are often served at the wedding or circumcision ceremony in Bima. Although there are many cookies, without the presence of the Saroja cookies, the party is not complete yet. According to the history, Rasabo village in Bima Regency is a place of origin in making Saroja cookies. Until now, the people from outside Bima and Dompu often come to Bima to order the cookies for the party. Even though there are some outsiders of Rasabo village who makes the cookies, the shape, flavor, and aroma of the cookies cannot compete the original taste of the cookies. Listener, the name of Saroja is taken from a flower name, Saroja, which means lotus because its form is like lotus flower. At that time, at Sila Bolo village, Bima Regency, it was made cake mold from brass which looked like lotus flower. This flower is often used by bride's candidates. The flowers are also shown in the water, which will be used to take bath by the bride's candidate. Listener, materials to make Saroja cookies is easy to be found, such as rice flour, egg, sugar, salt, lime bevel, and cooking oil. To make the cookies needs skill and accuracy. To produce good Saroja cookies, the mixture of the materials must be sharp. Those materials are mixed until melted. Then, heat the cooking oil, enter the cookies mold into the cooking oil which has been heated. After that, you put the dough into the mold and dip into the heating cooking oil until cooked and fluffy. After the dough have been well done, it is released by itself from the mold. Wait until it becomes yellowish, then lift it and it is ready to be served. The flavor of the cookies is savory. We guarantee you will like it. Listener, if you are in West Nusa Tenggara, please stop at the shop where you can buy Saroja cookies. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
in collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, magnificent beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, on Miscellany. Listener, two-thirds of Indonesia is maritime that has much well of natural resources, but biological resources that can be renewed and non-biological resources. Marine energy and marine surface until now have not been used optimally. Related with diverse biological resources in Indonesia, today's miscellany is about soft-shell crab. One of marine mammals that protects themselves with hard shell, but it is very popular in community, is crab. Crab is not only desirable because of delicious taste and easy to process, but also contains several essential nutrients. Unfortunately, if you enjoy a dish made from crab, you will face the difficulty. That is, first you must open the hard shell and it takes time and effort. Now, you can enjoy a crab that can be eaten the whole body, no exception, a hard shell. Yusinta Fujaya, professor of University of Hasanuddin in Makassar, South Sulawesi, who is also a researcher, finds that a method to soften the shell of crab. The method by Professor Yushi, a nickname from Yusinta, is inspired by figure Pope, a sailor character in cartoon. Before he fights against his rival, Pope will eat spinach. So, Popeye's body become muscular, fit, and tough for his rival. Listener, Yushi started doing research on spinach. Apparently, spinach contains ecdysteroid hormone that can stimulate an old crab skin to peel and rejuvenate the skin. Compared with a method that had been done in Thailand and some areas in Indonesia, through the mutilation, a crab leg stimulates an old shell to release and produce a new soft shell. Yushi's method is much safer and not injures the animal. By injecting extract of spinach to crab's body, the period of softening shell could be shortened from the usual 30 to 35 days to 16 to 20 days. Yushinta and her team called this finding with Phytomold. Professor Yushi said that an advantage of soft shell crab is when the shell releases naturally calcium and the shell drown naturally into crab's body. Soft crab is rich of calcium, which may neutralize cholesterol and control blood sugar for diabetic. Phytomold products now have been used in some small and medium enterprises or SMEs, which developed crab in Makassar as the city of the Angin Mamiri. Through these businesses, many farmers benefit because their welfare being fulfilled and could send their children to pursue higher education. Listener, that was specially for today's edition with the topic Yusinta Fujaya and Soft Shell Crab. See you again with other interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Anisa Nurul Shanti Kusuma Wardani Heriadi, or with nickname Shanti, a woman who was born in Jakarta in December 1978, began her career in the entertainment world as a dancer. Then shortly, she became an announcer of private radio, which delivered her as VJ MTV. Well, listener, to initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Hanya Memuji. Enjoy the song, listeners!
Melihat dia di depanku, dia
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Hanya Memuji, which was taken from the first album of Santi and released in 2000. This album has two hit songs entitled Hanya Memuji, which is sung duet by Marcel and Oh Kasih. This song tells about admiration to somebody. His existence is very interesting and makes her beating heart. The song with the title Oh Kasih try to present different story. The existence of feeling is only an admiration and praise, not a feeling of love. The collaboration between Santi and Marcel makes this song very nice to be enjoyed. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Mencari Cinta Sejati. Enjoy the song.
Semua tangisku, ku ingin mengusir semua sunyi dan sendiri.
Listener, that was the second song entitled Mencari Cinta Sejati sung by Santi. This song is in Santi's third album with the title Seperti Langit, which was released in 2005. The third album was very different from other previous albums, because the album contains of songs which have upbeat genre. But the song with the title Mencari Cinta Sejati has sweet rhythm, so this song is chosen as single hit. This song tells about someone who lost her true love, although she is sad, but she does not want anybody to know about her sadness. In 2010, Santi got married with Sebastian Paredes, who is from Ecuador. After getting married, Santi moves to Hong Kong. Over the last few years, Santi has begun to be active again in Indonesian music world. In 2015, Santi released single entitled Bukan Adam Hawa. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the next two songs entitled Bukan Adam Hawa and Aku Masih Mencintaimu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa, listener. Bye-bye.
Kau bukan lagi dia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.